1 Corinthians chapter 16. Continuing on in this study of the book of 1 Corinthians, we've come to the last chapter, chapter 16. Some final words before Paul closes out this letter, but some very much needed words, needed truth, before we close out this letter. We have already looked at chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, saw some much needed truths about giving. The last few weeks, we have been looking at verses 5 through 12, where we see a glimpse into Paul's ministry, kind of a snapshot into his life and ministry. And it reveals to us how we are to be living out and how verse 58 of chapter 15 is to be fleshed out in our life, how we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we are saved, we're to be serving Christ, and that means we're to be planning ministry into our lives. We're to be faithful in ministry and serving Christ right where God has placed us, and we're to be serving alongside of others in that work. And that is crucial instruction if we're going to live for what matters in this life. Live for what truly is going to count in eternity. As we move on into verses 13 and 14, we come to some divine directives for godly living. Divine directives for godly living. Verses 13 and 14, as well as on down in verse 15 through 18, and we'll look at some of that later on, but we see some exhortations, we see some rapid-fire commands that we are to take to heart and live out in our lives. And these are some foundational characteristics that we need to be building into our lives and growing in, abounding in our lives. We need to be practicing these things and living these things out, that we might live for Christ, that we might stand for Christ, that we might be effective for Christ in living godly, Christ-honoring lives in this world. And these truths that we see here in verses 13 and 14, these are not suggestions. These are not recommendations. These are commands. They are commands that are to be heeded and they are to be obeyed. They are commands that we are to take down in our heart and soul, that we are to be living out and practicing and operating by in our lives without exception. And they are given in military fashion. It's as a commander is commanding his troops. This is our solemn calling. This is our sacred duty before Christ, before God Almighty. We must live out these truths. We must put these things into practice. Or we will not live for Christ. Or we will not live godly lives. Or we will not be serving and honoring Christ in the way we conduct ourselves in this world. We must be living these things out if we will live godly, Christ-honoring lives. We must put them into practice. They are of absolute necessity. And so we're going to begin looking at these in chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, as we have read it, we just humble ourselves again and ask you, Father, to help us. Your word says that your truth, the scripture, is like a hammer. And I pray it would break out everything in our lives that is in your way. It says it's like a fire. And I pray it would consume everything in our lives and burn up everything in our lives that is in your way and not like Christ. Everything that hinders us, Lord. Your word says that it's like a sharp sword, that it pierces to division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It lays all of us naked and open before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And I pray your word would have that effect and that power today, that your spirit would drive it in deep, that we would we would see, we would understand. It would grab hold of us, God. It would move us to where we need to be before you. If there are those here today, God, who are lost, they do not truly know you. They're not born again. They're not regenerated. They're not on their way to heaven. They're not right with you. I pray that you would bring them under Holy Spirit conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. You would show them your holiness and their sinfulness and their need to be saved and reconciled in Christ as their only hope. And you would bring them to repentance and saving faith. I pray for your church, Father, that you would awaken us out of sleep and complacency and apathy and worldliness and idolatry and all these things that creep in so subtly over months and years. And before long, our hearts are hard and we need revival. We need spiritual awakening. God, what we need only you can bring down. We need you. And so, Father, we ask you to move. We ask you to work. Profoundly, God, in a greater way than you ever have. Work in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. These are five divine directives that we need to put into practice in our life if we're going to truly live for Christ. If we're going to stand for Christ, we need to take note of these things. We need to take these things into our heart and soul and get a hold of them and live them out. And so we're not in a hurry. We're going to work our way through these slowly. I thought when I studied this would probably just be one message, maybe two. And then I don't know how many it will be. Maybe it will only be two. But we're only going to look at the first thing this morning, the first word. The first thing that we're called to do here is watch. Watch. Verse 13 begins with one word, one command. Watch. If we're going to live for Christ, if we're going to stand for Christ, if we're going to honor Christ, if we're going to live for the things that truly matter, we're going to live in a way that honors Him and glorifies Him, is effective for the kingdom. If we're going to live as we have been called in a manner worthy of such a God, such a Savior, such a salvation, then we must watch. We must watch. The question immediately comes, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to watch? Well, the Greek word here for watch literally speaks of being awake physically as opposed to being asleep. It is to be wide awake as opposed to being dozing off asleep. But it is used all over in the Scripture in a spiritual sense to speak of being alert and being awake spiritually. Spiritually. It has the idea of being alert. It has the idea of being discerning of what is going on in your life all around you, what is going on in the world around you, what is going on spiritually in everything. It is to see past the external, past the exterior, past the earthly, to the spiritual things, to the truth of God, to the working of God, to what is really going on in our lives and what has eternal weight and value. That is the command. Be watchful. Be on guard. Be alert. Be at the ready spiritually. As I said, it is military language. This is language that was often used to speak of soldiers and keeping their watch and keeping their post and commanding them to be alert, commanding the soldiers, be at the ready, keep your eyes peeled, be ready for the battle, be ready for the fight, be ready to engage. And that is the idea here. The Scripture often speaks to us in military language. Those who are Christ, we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus. We have been called by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are in a battle. We are in a battle of all battles. We are in a fight of all fights. We're in the war of all wars. And the victory has already been won. Christ has defeated the enemy. He has made the way of salvation The victory is ours in Christ, but while we're still here in this world, we're engaged, aren't we? We're in a battle. There's warfare going on. As I just said this morning and prayed, some of you have husbands that are lost. And there's a war going on for their souls. Some of us have kids who are lost and they are bound in depravity. They are chained in sin. They are so deceived they can't see the light of the truth. And they're bound there. And their only hope is the power of God to come down and set them free. There's a battle going on. There's warfare that we're engaged in. And so often we're asleep. We're calloused. We're in spiritual slumber. We're dozing off and we don't know the battle. We don't realize the battle going on all around us. This is the picture of a Roman soldier. Picture that. This is a Roman soldier. Imagine that. This isn't. This is talking about a Christian soldier. But picture a Roman soldier under orders. Boy, orders in that day were severe. You could be put to death. He didn't keep your orders. The soldier's under orders and he is at post. He is to be watching. He's to have his eyes peeled. And he's to do that knowing the enemy, he's not just way out there somewhere. He's not just coming somewhere from far, but he's right there at your front. And he's right there at your side. And he's on the other side and he's right there behind you. Knowing, he's keeping watch, knowing the enemy is all around him. You think he'll be alert? You think he'll be falling asleep? No, not if he knows and believes that he's in great danger and he is to be watching. He'll have his eyes peeled. He'll have his sword not in the sheath. It'll be drawn. It'll be out. He'll be at the ready. He'll be ready to engage and watching and alert. And that is the calling here. And that is the picture here. Today, it would be a modern warfare fighter. He would be... battle gear would be clothed on him. He'd have his helmet on, his goggles on, his night vision on. He'd have his flak, his plate carrier on. He'd have his weapon drawn, all of his ammunition there around him. He would have that weapon drawn and he wouldn't just have it down. He would be looking through the sights, ready to engage. That's the calling. Watch. Watch. We're to be at the ready. We're to be on guard. We're to be discerning everything that is going on in our lives spiritually and all around us spiritually, ready to engage, ready to stand, ready to fight. Understand, nothing matters more than this. Nothing matters more than the calling of Christ on your life and my life. Isn't that true? I mean, Jesus really did come and die on the cross for our sins. He really did ascend back to heaven. He really is seated at the right hand of God. He really is coming to this world. And when He comes, He's going to devastate this place. He's going to shake this place. What we have seen in Syria and Turkey is just a little birth pang of what is coming when this baby is delivered. It's going to get worse and worse until Christ comes and reclaims this place as His own, as its rightful heir. And we are to be alert. And we're to be watching and at the ready and standing and fighting. Nothing matters more than this. Eternity hangs in the balance. You realize that? Eternal destinies, souls all around us are hanging in the balance. Heaven or hell hangs in the balance. The church truly living for Christ and honoring Christ and living in a manner worthy of such a God and such a Savior, that is hanging in the balance. It matters if we watch, because if we do not watch, we won't live in a manner that's worthy of Him. We must watch. That's why this is a command. Watch. It's all hanging in the balance. It's hanging in the balance right here, right now. Every moment of our day, eternal things hang in the balance. And so we are exhorted here. Watch. Be at the alert. Be at the ready spiritually. If you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to live in a manner that glorifies Him, in a manner that your life will truly count, and have eternal reward and value, then you must watch. You must live your life being watchful, being alert, spiritually discerning of everything that's going on in your life, inside and outside and all around you. Now, how do we do this? How do we live this way? Well, first of all, you have to be saved. You must be saved, or you won't be able to watch. You have to be born again. You have to be someone who is a true follower of Jesus Christ. You have to be someone who truly has repented of sin and turned away from sin in your old way of life and fallen at the feet of Christ and put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord and been regenerated. Big word, but it's a Bible word. We've been regenerated by the working, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all by the mercy and the grace of God. To be regenerated means you've been changed on the inside by the power of God. You've been given, that's what it means to be born again. You've been given a new nature. God has caused you to come alive on the inside. He's put the Spirit of God on the inside. You are now indwelt with the Spirit of God and you have a new nature. And now you hate your sin and you love Christ. You don't want to waste your life. You want to live for what's eternal. This new nature has taken hold of you and you love God and you want to serve God. And that is what's driving you. You must be saved. You must be saved. You have to repent of your sin. You have to turn from sin and self to Christ. You have to put your faith in Him as your only hope of salvation, of forgiveness, of everlasting life. You must be born again if you're ever going to be able to truly watch. And the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you, and He's changing you. And He's giving you understanding of divine things, of spiritual things. He's giving you the understanding of the Word of God, and He's giving you understanding of your life and sin and the things that are in your life that need to be repented of and let go of. And He's giving you discernment of the things that ought to be in your life and the things that ought to be planted, and you're going after those things. He's giving you wisdom. He's giving you wisdom that when you watch the news, you're seeing not just things that are going on, but what's going on spiritually, how God is working in the world. He's giving you understanding of how God's working in your family and those that are still bound up in sin and others that are trying to grow in Christ. You're seeing the spiritual reality of all these things. It's the Spirit of God that gives us the ability to be able to watch and discern. And back in the beginning of the book, 1 Corinthians 2, go down to verse 12, and we see this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Why? "That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that's the one without Christ who hasn't been saved, "the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual," that's the saved man, the one with the Spirit of God, "he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You see that? How do you watch? How do you discern? Only if the Spirit of God's living in you. Only if you are spiritual and therefore can understand spiritual things, and the Holy Spirit of God is taking the things of God and giving you the understanding of those things and turning on the light bulb, and you're able to judge all things. You're able to look at your life, your own life, inside and out, and look out at the church and look out at the world and all things and rightly judge and discern because you have the spiritual ability given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. We're to be watching. But you must be saved if you're going to watch. And so we just have to stop here, and you need to search in your own heart. Are you saved? Are you saved? I believe many of you are saved, but I don't take that for granted. I don't take that for granted in my own life.
I don't just take it for granted that I'm saved. I believe that I'm saved. God has assured me that I'm saved. But I step back often and say, oh God, am I really? You know why? Because that Bible tells me to. You better examine yourself. You better see whether you be in the faith. Lest you believe in vain. Lest you be self-deceived and you buy into the fact that you're born again and surely you're saved and then you stand before God and you're lost. Examine yourself. Step back and discern and ask God to search your heart. Are you born again? Have you truly come to saving faith in Christ? Are you a true follower of Jesus? Do you follow Him? Has He got a hold of you? Has He turned you from the life you were living to the life of Christ? Are you walking a new path? Do you have a new nature and new desires? Is God convicting you of sin and driving you toward Christ? Or are you able to just put off the things of God and just kind of keep going and have an outward appearance of godliness but be denying the power of it? Are you truly born again? You must be saved. If you're going to be able to watch, you have to be able to see. And if you're going to see, you need the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Are you saved? That is your greatest need. And it's more important than anything else in life. Right now, right here today, the greatest thing in your life is whether or not you're truly saved. And if you're not saved, then before you take one more step, you need to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord. You need to flee from sin and the wrath to come to Jesus and put your faith in Him alone as Savior, Lord, God, and King and call on Him to save you. Trust that He's your only hope. He's your only hope of salvation, eternal life. And so you must be saved. And then once we're saved and we have the divine enablement to watch, to see, to understand, to discern the things that are going on in our life spiritually, then we must hone that discernment. That word hone, it's like many of you sharpen knives. You've got that sharpening stone and that knife and it gets dull and you just put it on that stone, put a little oil on there and you just begin to work that thing back and forth. And it's little by little, but boy, you keep working that back and forth and that edge gets sharper and sharper and sharper. Then you put it on a piece of leather and start working it back and forth and it gets even sharper. We're to hone ourselves by immersing ourselves in the Word of God. That's what will hone you to watch. That's what will build you up to be able to see and discern and be alert spiritually. You have to be immersed in the Scripture. You have to know the Word of the living God. And you have to be taking it in daily and meditating upon it and growing in it and growing in that knowledge and in your obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God. Let me take you back to Joshua. And we could go all over the Scripture. There's so many passages on the Word of God and our need for the Word and its effectiveness and power in our lives. But this really hits with what we're being commanded here in 1 Corinthians 16. If you go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua's being commanded. He's leading the Lord's army. They're getting ready to go do battle. And listen what God tells him. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Sound familiar? And of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you're going to stand in this world for Christ, if you're going to be engaged in battle and not just be wasting your life in mundane things, frivolous things that'll mean nothing on that day that we stand before Him, if you're going to be engaged in the battle, you're going to be at the ready, that sword drawn, then you're going to have to be immersed in the Word of God daily. It's going to have to be what flows through your mind and flows through your thoughts, meditating on the Word of God, fellowshipping with God in the Word, thinking through that Word and how it applies to your life. You're going to have to sharpen yourself and hone yourself back and forth in the Word of the living God. It's then that you'll be prosperous. It's then that you'll have good success. It's then that you'll be courageous for Christ instead of holding back. We must be immersed in the Word. Another passage out of the New Testament, very familiar, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and boy, that's a pleading based off of all the mercies and the goodness and the salvation of God and all the blessings He's given to us in Christ. I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lay down your life as a living sacrifice. That's the only reasonable response to Christ, to the cross. If you have been placed in Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you've been washed in the blood, you have been reconciled to God, the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you're a child of the living God. The only acceptable response is to lay down your life as a living sacrifice and say, God, my life is yours. Don't let me live for me. Don't let me be me. Make me like your son. And the only way to be made like Christ, the only way not to be conformed to the world, is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, day and night. Why? That you might observe it, that you might be prosperous, that you might stand, that you might fight. That you might not be conformed to the world, but you might be able to what? Prove. To know without any doubt what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. How are you going to be able to discern that? Only through the Word. And only as the Holy Spirit is taking that Word and giving you the understanding and the enlightenment of it. And so to watch is to know the Word of God and then discern everything in your life through the lens of Scripture. And we never finish growing in the Word of God. We just keep growing and growing and taking it in and growing and growing. And the more you grow, the more you see how much further you've got to go. And you just keep growing and growing and taking it in, and you just got to keep going. And then we're to discern everything in our life. We're to watch everything going on. Listen, spiritual realities behind it. What's going on in this nation is the root of Satan and demonic forces of wickedness. That's why our nation is where it is. There's a spiritual warfare going on. You say, well, no, it's that president. Well, he's the pawn. He's one of them. But he's just flesh and blood. He's under deception. He's lost. He can't see. He can't discern. He doesn't know. That doesn't give him an excuse. He's highly accountable for the position he's in and will give an account. But you know what? I don't expect lost people to live like they're saved. But I do expect saved people to. I expect me to. I expect you to if you're saved. But lost people are going to live lost. But how do you discern? How do you look out at a nation and see what's truly going on? How do you look at your life and everything going on and what you're giving yourself to and be able to back up and evaluate and have true light and discern what's not good for you and what is, what's taking you away from Christ and what isn't? How do you discern those things? Only by the Word of God. As you take it in day and night and you meditate on it and you keep it there and you dwell on it and you study it and you flesh it out and you live it in your life, then you'll see as you look through the lens of Scripture. How many of you wear glasses? Some of you do. I see them on your face. I do. I don't usually have them on because I can see up front for now. But when I look way out there, things start getting blurry. Now I can see all of you. I can see who you are. It's not horrible yet. It's getting that way. Hit me about 40 or so. I remember I'd be out there shooting my bow and drawing back that bow, and my pin, instead of there just being one, there'd be two. What's going on here? And then I'm looking at the bullseye, and it's all blurry down there. I can't really make out that bullseye. I remember going in and having that exam and getting those glasses. I remember putting them on, and they're like, can you see? I looked out the window, and everything was clear. The leaves, the bark, the distinctions on all that stuff, way I could see it all clearly. See, that's what the Word of God does. As long as it's in your mind and you're meditating on it, and you're not just living life and it's over there on the side pocket somewhere, but everything going on in your life is coming through the filter and the lens of Scripture, then you're able to see everything clearly as you ought. And that's what this is. We need the Word of God if we're going to be able to watch. And so step back, and not only are you saved, is that real, but are you faithfully giving yourself to the study of the Word of God? Are you studying the Bible? Are you in the Word of God daily? Are you driven to the Word because you know you need the God of the Word? It's not just even just reading something. It's, God, I want to meet with you. God, I want to hear your voice. God, open my eyes that I might see. And God, help me to get a hold of this. Drive it into my heart that I might take it in. You know, so often we can read and we're reading so fast and we're checking it off the box, but are you getting anything? Are you really chewing on it? Are you taking it into your heart and really meditating upon it and how it applies to you in your life? And this is why the church today is so weak. It's why the church today is so worldly and apathetic and powerless. We have convinced ourselves that we can live and not die to self daily and seek God and His wisdom in our lives. I don't know your life personally. You don't know mine. But I wondered if we could just put it up on a big screen, what we do every day in the morning, throughout the day. Would there be imagery of you daily going down on your face in prayer and getting a hold of God because you know you need Him? Just pausing and saying, God, I don't want to live today because I'm just going to waste it away. What you've called me to do, God, I need divine power. I need divine wisdom. I need you in a desperate seeking of God. Would that be revealed in your life? Would there be the opening of the Word of God and seeking God there and studying and pleading with God to show you, to teach you, to make you like Christ? So that's why the church is weak. That's why there's so much apathy and worldliness, because we're not on watch and we're not sharpening the sword so we can be on watch and at the ready. If we had any depth of understanding of how utterly hopeless we are and weak we are, we would be driven to prayer and the Word of God every day, probably for hours of the day. But we don't know how weak we are, and we'll see that later on as we go. When we're called to be strong. We're to watch. We're to live our lives being watchful in all things, spiritually ready, on the alert, ready to engage, discerning everything that's going on in our life through the truth of Scripture. So we must be saved. We must be immersed in the Word of God. Now, what are we to be spiritually alert and watchful in? What are we to be watching and discerning? Let me give you some areas. And so much could be said, just a few things I want to share with you this morning. Some areas that the Word of God calls us to watch. And this is often more than I can share this morning. But number one, we are to be watching and on guard against the devil and sin and temptation. Against the devil and against sin and temptation. 1 Peter 5, you can turn over there if you want to the right. Past Hebrews, that's the bigger book you'll come to. Past James, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do not be deceived. There is an enemy who is seeking to devour us. He is real. He is powerful. He is sly. He has more wisdom, smarter than any of us, smarter than all of us put together by far. And we're not to be deceived. We're not to be swayed by his tactics. He comes at us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the avenues that he comes at us with temptation. And we are tempted with those things. We're tempted to lust for things that are wicked and sinful, things we do not need. We're tempted to look at and dwell upon things that will destroy us. And we are tempted to operate our lives in pride and arrogance, thinking we can live and do it ourselves, do what we want to do, live for ourselves, please us rather than truly please God. And this is where many Christians are. They're asleep. They're seduced. They have been tempted and they have been consumed with earthly things, devoured by the enemy. And if we're not careful, if we're not watching, if we're not on guard, then we will be devoured. Happens all the time. Many of pastors have fallen. No longer in ministry. Many Christian fallen. Taken down, seduced, deceived by the devil, by his tactics. Do not succumb to his lies and deceptions. You have to watch because he is subtle. He knows where you're weak. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows how to come at you, and he is unrelenting at it. And so we're to watch. We're to watch over in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, you see this language, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You know, the devil and the demons, even if they were locked and chained up in the pit of hell, we would still wrestle with sin and temptation. You realize that? Can't blame it on the devil. I mean, he's out there and he's at work and he's not helping things, but I tell you, there's something on the inside that's still astray, still not right. Paul said it like this, Romans 7, for the good I will to do it. That's what is in my heart. God's given me a due desire. I want to do what's good, but the good that I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, God's given me a hatred for sin and these things, but what I hate, that I do. What in the world is wrong? Paul tells us, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I've got this new nature. It hates sin. It's going after Christ. And yet, I keep stumbling. I keep struggling. I keep looking at things. I keep falling into pride. I keep falling into worldliness. And the things that I want to do, that I want to go after, I don't do. Why? There's evil in me. There's this body of flesh that this new nature is still cloaked in, and it's holding on and hanging on. And that's why if we could just drop this body of flesh, we'd be as we ought to be in the Spirit. And then if we could just be clothed with that new body, made in righteousness, made after Him, we'd be doing all right, amen? But we're still in this body of flesh. Jesus said in Mark 14, verse 38, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Our Lord commands us, watch and pray. We're in a battle. That battle's not just out there. It's in here. It's on the inside. We're called here in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. The same thing. How are you going to watch against sin and temptation? How are you going to make sure you're not seduced subtly by the devil? And before long, years have gone by and you have fallen far from where you ought to have been because you took a right-hand turn and a left-hand turn off the straight and narrow. How do you watch? Gird up the loins of your mind. It's the same thing. Saturate your mind with Scripture. Meditate on the things of God, the Word of God. Let that be dwelling in you richly. and pull in everything that's hanging out there that's not as it ought to be. All those loose ends, all those loose thoughts, all the loose areas of your life. Cinch them down tight and get your mind and your thoughts and your focus gathered up and put it upon Christ and what truly matters, and keep it there. Keep it there. Gird up the loins of your mind. Do not conform yourselves to your former lust as in your ignorance. That's the temptation. Just to water down the calling of Christ. You don't have to be that radical preacher. We don't have to go all that outgoing and trying to reach people and all that serious and being in the Word and prayer. We can kind of just settle down into a little comfortable spot over here. Don't conform yourself to your former lust as in your what? Ignorance. Remember when you were stupid? It's not a slam on you, myself included. I remember when I was as stupid as I could be. Ignorant. Ignorant of the things of God. Ignorant of my life. Ignorant of what mattered in life. Ignorant of what life was about. I didn't have a clue until the light of the gospel came shining in. It began to awaken me to how foolish I was and how ignorant I was and how stupid I was in living my life for the world and the things that are temporal that'll burn up, living in sin and heading for judgment. God awakened me to those things. Don't go back there. Don't take one step back there. Keep going on for Christ. You better watch, lest you're tempted. Lest you take a step back to your former ignorance, your former lust. And he tells us here again, look at, be sober. He's calling us to watch, be alert, be at the ready, be on guard. Have your weapon drawn, be ready to engage in this battle. And so we have to watch. We have to be on guard against the devil. We have to be on guard against sin and temptation out there. We have to be on guard against sin and temptation and the evil that's on the inside. Watch. The only way to do it, again, to be immersed in the Word, to know it, to live it. The second area that we're to be watching and on guard is against false teachers and teachings. False teachers and teachings. If you're in 1 Peter, just turn to the left a few books to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Down in verse 13, he says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And so there's a warning there against the evil men and impostors. This is the day in which we live. It's a day of evil men. It's a day of men who are given over to their flesh, who are completely rebellious toward God in their nature. They don't want anything to do with God. And they're leading nations, and they're leading people, and they're leading states, and they're leading schools, and they're all over the place. And they don't care about God. They don't care about the Word of God. Their heart is filled with evil, and evil is what they set themselves to do. Evil men. Evil men. They lift up things that are abominable before God. Sin and wickedness and depravity, things that will just take men and destroy their lives, young men and women and boys and girls, and captivate them and devastate them and lead them into hell. That's what they lift up. And those things that are pure and godly and whole, righteous, they despise and hate. That's the day we're living in. And then, not just evil men and imposters, spiritual pretenders, those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, the fakes, standing up, saying they know the right way, preachers standing up as though they're from God, preaching lies and deceptions. Preachers who preach to soothe people and comfort people, but never preach to warn people or lead people to Christ, just to soothe them in their sin and their deception. The false Christians, the false preachers, the false teachers, the fakes, the frauds, the imposters of true Christianity will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and they have. We live in that day, 2,000 years on the other side of this passage when it was written, and they've grown worse and worse and worse. And so we must be on guard. We have to know that everything labeled Jesus claims to be of Jesus. Every preacher is not of Jesus. Every Christian is not a true Christian. There's many who are deceived. Same note, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. We'll pick up there, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, what? Be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Watch. Again, this is the day we live in. Much of the professing church, it's not the true church, mark my words carefully, it's not the true church, it's the professing church, will not endure sound doctrine. You get a preacher preaching the word, a teacher teaching the word, you get a church holding forth the word of life, and they don't want it. And they'll run out of that place. And what have they done? They have heaped for themselves other teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And now we've got churches everywhere that are professing churches with teachers that just soothe and comfort, and they will not preach the truth of the Word of God, and they're leading their people to hell. You better watch. You better watch. God help me to preach to you the truth. Amen. But you better watch. You better watch. You better know the Word. And you better take everything I say in light of the Word and the Holy Spirit of God and let God be leading you. Don't just follow a man. Follow a man who's leading you to Christ. And keep your eyes on Christ, because a man is fallible. I'm broken. I'm saved by God's grace. Believe that to be so. But I'm broken. And He's fixing me, but I'm not arrived. So God help us, amen. We better watch. The third area is to be watching and on guard in prayer. Go back to the right. We're going back and forth a little bit, but back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. And notice here, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. 1 Peter 4, 7. Mark those words. But the end of all things is at hand. Get a hold of that. 2,000 years ago or so, when that was first written, penned by Peter, the Spirit of God on him to write those words, the Word of the living God, the end of all things is at hand. It means it's right here. It's right now. At hand means it's right there. And yet it's been 2,000 years. And so just understand, we are 2,000 years closer to it being at hand. We've been in the last days ever since the first coming of Christ. Scripture makes that clear. When Jesus came and walked in holiness and went to the cross to die for our sins, be resurrected the third day, ascend back to heaven, His arrival brought in the last days, the days of the Messiah, the days of God's salvation. That was the beginning of the last days. Go to 1 John, and John writes, little children, it is the last hour. Again, Scripture always pointing us to the fact of there's an imminence here of the end time. We are right there. Christ is standing at the door right now. He is waiting for God to say, go gather up your bride, go get my children. It's right here. It's upon us. And do you see? Do you see that? Are you watching? Do you see America crumbling at the seams? I mean, this nation that God rose up, that once had a godly foundation, a constitution that we were built on, that people actually believed, and some still do, but boy, not most of our leaders do. They don't want anything to do with that. They don't want anything to do with God and godly principles. They don't want anything to do with godly morality or righteousness. And everything this nation has stood for, we're seeing crumbling apart. Why? Well, because of the end. God creates peace. God creates calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things, says the Lord. God does that. When there's peace and things are good and righteousness is flowing and God's establishing a nation, God does that. When it's crumbling apart because they've forsaken God and forsaken His Word and it's coming apart at the seams, God is doing that. That doesn't mean no one's accountable. You absolutely are. But God is orchestrating it all to bring us to a divine end. God's got a divine calendar. He's got it in place. God's not restricted by time, but God has certain events that are going to come down the pipeline on this earth. And one of the next ones coming, in my understanding of eschatology and the end time things, is the coming of an Antichrist. He's going to rise up to power. He's going to be loved by the world. And people are going to flock to him. And then there's going to be some establishment with Israel and signing a peace treaty there, and things are going to look like it's going well until 3.5 years into that. And then he's going to turn his back on them and begin to annihilate them and begin to annihilate anyone who names the name of Christ. And during that time, God is going to shake the earth like it's never been shaken before. He's going to devastate the vegetation. He's going to devastate the seas. He's going to devastate the fresh waters. He's going to kill a third of mankind like that. I mean, it's going to happen and it's going to be done. It's going to happen. Are you awake? Are you alert? Are you discerning? Do you know these things? Do you believe these things? You know what all that's leading us to? The greatest thing. If you be in Christ, the coming of our Savior. All of that devastation to bring in the coming of Jesus Christ. At the very end of it all, God's going to shut out the sun. He's going to shut out the stars, and it's all going to go dark. And then the glory of Christ is going to light up the eastern sky, and Jesus is going to descend. He's going to come gather His own. And listen, everything in this world is pointing to that. There's a day of information and the world being on one page. You know, years ago, you used to be able to get the news weeks after something had happened. You might hear about it on the news. You might not. But today, somebody can record it live and put it up on Facebook, and the whole world is seeing it happen as it happens. The whole world is on one page with information. We've never been like that before. Do you see that? Why? Because the Antichrist is going to come and consume the whole world, and he needs a world stage to be able to do it, to bring them all in. You see America falling. You see China rising. You see China, Iran, and Russia gathering together. You see the whole world becoming more and more resistant and having animosity toward God's chosen nation, Israel. We've got them in our ranks in Congress. I think they just took one out, at least out of a certain committee. She's still in Congress. And there's more like her all over the world and even in our own ranks in this nation. The world stage is being set for the end. And so what are we to do? Watch. The Bible tells us we're not in the dark that these things should overtake us as a thief. The Bible tells us Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And so many churches and Christians and preachers have said, you better be ready because Jesus is coming as a thief. Well, you better. But then it goes on to say, but we're in the light and He's not coming upon us as a thief. If you are in Christ and you're in the light and your mind is saturated with the Scripture and your life is given to prayer and you're rooting out sin and you're going after Jesus and you're on guard and you're alert, then these things won't come upon you as a thief. You'll know it. You'll see it. You'll discern it by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It doesn't mean we'll know everything there is to know. It doesn't mean we'll have it all figured out. But we'll know enough. And we won't be in the dark. He's given us the light of truth. He's revealed to us these things to us beforehand. And so we're to be watching and on guard in prayer. When we see these things, what do? Don't just take it in. Hit your knees. Are you praying to God? Praying for your nation? Praying for your leaders? You praying for the lost people all around you? Are you getting to work? Are you busy with what matters? One last area. We're to be watching and on guard with others. watching and on guard with others. I'm just going to go back to Acts chapter 20 for a minute. This is Paul leaving the area of Ephesus. He's speaking to the church, warning the church. They're broken. They're in tears. They don't want Paul to go. They know that he's heading for tribulation and trial, even eventually death. And Paul says, I'm going anyway. In chapter 20, verse 29, just picking up in the middle, as Paul's leaving, he says, for I know this. Well, let's pick up in verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch. Be spiritually alert. Be spiritually discerning. Paul says, for 3 whole years I did not cease to warn everyone. Night and day, again and again and again and over and over and over, I warned and I warned and I warned of both the spiritual dangers from without the church and within the church, even from among yourselves, men rising up. Do not go after them. Do not be deceived. Watch. Watch. Who's Paul talking to? Verse 28, the elders. Take heed to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's speaking to the leaders of these churches and saying, I've watched, you better watch. You better watch, you better warn. Over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul says, in the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All of us are to be aware of the spiritual dangers around us. All of us are to be on guard against sin and temptation and the devil's schemes. All of us are to be on guard against false teachers and teachings. All of us are to be spiritually alert and discerning and at the ready and wielding the sword of the Word of God, watching, watching, and then warning, warning one another. We need to surround ourselves with other godly men and women who love us and will encourage us and strengthen us, and edify us, and build us up in the Word of God, and strengthen us toward Christ. Surround yourself with others who are godly and God-fearing and full of the Word and going after the Lord Jesus, who are alert and on guard and watching spiritually and discerning. My eyes cannot be everywhere at one time. I need somebody catching my back. I need somebody on my left and right, and you do as well. It takes each of us. Watching, alert, discerning, warning one another, bringing things up that we need to be aware of and knowing and careful of, the dangers all around us on the spiritual horizon. And I thank God for the godly men in my life who have loved me, poured themselves into me, who have taught me the Word of God, who have prayed for me, who have warned me, stood watch over me. We see on down verse 15 through 18, there are those who had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They're just giving themselves to ministering to the saints, building them up, teaching them the things of God, ministering with them, warning them, exhorting them. We need that. You know, it's not hatred that warns. It's love. It's not hatred that would come and grab you on the shoulder and say, wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, sister. It's not callousness. It's not judgment. It's not coldness of heart. It can turn into those things. But if it's done in truth, it's done in love. You know, when a doctor comes to somebody in your family and says, you've got brain cancer, and shows them the x-rays and says, you've got to have this removed. Is that hatred? You say, that mean doctor, how could he come and tell my mom these things and hurt her and do all this to her? That cold, callous man, is that what he is? What is it? Concern. Love. This is how serious this is. This is what you need to do in light of it. It's love. It's love. You know, the trouble is when you're dealing with lost people and trying to bring them to that truth, they hate the light. It's love that brings the light in there, but they resist it. Again, where do we need to be? Watching. How? In prayer. I don't know how long I've been going. I'm about to stop, maybe. What we need in our families, only God can bring down. That lost spouse that you're pleading for God to say, only God's going to bring him out of that deception, out of the depravity that he's bound in, out of the chains of sin, and bring him to the knowledge of truth and transform him. Only God's going to do that. Only God is going to reach down and save our children, our grandchildren. And you better be watching. I fear that many of us think our kids are saved because they said a prayer a long time ago, and by golly, they believe the right things and they're saved, and there's been no fruit. Hardly any fruit whatsoever. If that's the case, you better rethink their salvation. Get on your knees. Begin weeping and pleading with God to save them. Because those who enter into heaven, they take the kingdom of heaven by force. They don't lollygag in there. They don't just kind of wander, meander through life, believing the right things and just somehow enter up into heaven. They are transformed and born again by the power of God. We need to wake up. We need to watch. How we live, the choices we make, the things we do, have eternal consequences, eternal impact. And so this is a calling to be watching spiritually. Don't be deceived. Don't drift and not even realize you're drifting. Make sure that you're saved and then be filled with the Spirit of God and be studying the Word and immersing yourselves in God and His truth. And keep it in your mind, in the forefront. Keep your focus there. Gird up all those loose ends of your life and bring them all into obedience to Jesus Christ. Watch. Watch. Now listen. We need to take this to heart. Don't just say, well, yeah, that's good, or whatever's in your mind, and just kind of lollygag out of here. I fear that most Christians don't live this way. They're spiritually asleep, complacent, worldly, undiscerning of eternal things. And they'll look out there and say, well, I can see some things. But yet when it comes to their own life and true self-evaluation and what's going on in them and around them and what really needs to be going on, they don't have a clue. I don't say this to manipulate an altar full of people. You'll do what you feel led to do. But if we had any discernment of what was just preached, we'd all be down here on our faces weeping to God, pleading with God to make us like Christ, to open our eyes to see, to root out everything in our lives that are in His way and make us like the Lord Jesus and effective for Him and His kingdom. Why don't we? Can we see? Do we discern? Do we understand? As we close, I want to ask you, are you saved? I mean, really, right now, if you were to die, God forbid, do you know you would be ushered into the presence of Christ and ushered into the kingdom of heaven? Do you know that? And if you say, yes, I know that, is it based upon the truth of Scripture or just a feeling you have in your heart? Can you open up the Word of God and examine your life and say, I know I'm saved because this? Because of this. Because of this. Because of this. Because of this. Do you have spiritual assurance of salvation rooted in the Scripture? Or are you truly born again? And if you're not truly born again, your greatest need right now is to come to Jesus Christ in true saving faith. It is to flee from sin, flee from the wrath that is coming upon the world, flee to Jesus Christ as your only hope, and put your faith in Him as Savior and Lord. It's your greatest need, and you need to do that today. If God's been working in your life, He's been convicting you, you've been mulling this over, you know this is what you need to do, then quit putting it off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Run to Jesus. If you are saved, are you watching? Or have you been lulled to sleep? Are you driven to prayer? Are you driven there because you know without God, you're just wasting your life away? Without the power of God, the wisdom of God, the enablement of God, you're just drifting to and fro like a wave tossed by the sea. And you know that, so you dare not take a step in the day without Christ. You're driven to prayer. And then you're driven there to say, oh God, open my eyes that I might see and behold wondrous truths from your law. God, teach me. God, help me to get something out of your word today to see and understand. And you search and you study and you seek for God in the word and you take that with you. And then as you go out the day, you're meditating on that. If you're like me, listen, within just a few moments, a half hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, you can just drift into the world and you're no longer really, thinking spiritually. You're not, the word's not in the forefront and you're just wrapped up in the world and your life, wasting it. You're in the flesh. You need to be in the spirit. And so these things we must take to heart. Are you watching? Are you watching? This is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is a command from our Lord Jesus Christ, our commander in chief. Watch. Let's stand as we pray. Father, we bow before you. I pray you would drive this into our heart. I need this, God, desperately in my life. I believe each of us need this desperately in our lives. And so I pray your word has gone forth as a hammer and a fire and a sword, and it has pierced us through and revealed things and convicted us and moved us, God, where you want us to be. Help us to respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brenda, what is it again? 194 is going to be our hymn this morning, 194. This is the time to respond to God, and we do need to respond to Him. Whatever He's speaking in your heart, whatever you're sensing by the Spirit of God in His Word, surrender that to Him. There's forgiveness there, there's cleansing there, there's strength there, there's revival there, there's everything that we need at the feet of Christ. You come as we sing.
As we sing, you come. Guess that was the last verse. Brenda plays, you come. If you know you need to be saved, God's dealing with you about that, you come. If you're not sure if you've truly been saved, you're wrestling with that, trying to discern that, am I really saved? I'm not sure, then come. We want to help you with that. We want to share the Word of God and lead you either to true salvation or to true assurance of salvation. God wants you to have that, and so you come. Every failure in our life is a failure to watch. It's a failure to be discerning and on guard and at the ready and sword drawn and full of the Spirit and full of the Word and engaged, watching, alert, ready. If that's not where you've been, you need to come and ask God to help you. You need to come and ask God to forgive you for drifting and not being at the ready and not being in prayer and not really being in the Word and oftentimes just drifting through life and not really being given over. Not just to be living life, but to be living filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God on mission. A weapon in the hand of God, alert, watching, ready, engaged. You need to come this morning, you come as Brenda plays. I love yous this morning. It's been good to be together. It's been good to be in the Word. And God help us to watch. God help us to watch. Brother Paul, would you close us this morning in prayer?